This is the Goodfeller Show with Matt Gefeller. Extraordinary tales from ordinary males.
The pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change, but the realist adjusts the sails. William Arthur Ward.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your kayaks. You're about to hear another extraordinary tale from my friend and preacher, Matthew Cothran.
The masked superhero fighting the devil at every corner in the town of Rural Hall.
Which is only one corner.
Come on now. There's at least four stoplights because I hit them every day. So, Matt, talking about some kayaking, you were telling me the other day that you had been to Hawaii and been kayaking with whales. Do tell. I am intrigued, to say the least.
Yeah, it was one of the most providential things I think I've ever been a part of, because this was March. Yes, you heard me right when I say this, March of 2020. Now, if you're
thinking about that pandemic.
Yeah, like literally we are on the beach in Hawaii about to leave and March Madness gets canceled. We are coming home and they're shutting airports down. I mean, it's like the real thing. Like just a couple days later, Hawaii is closing off its borders, you know, that sort of thing. Like it was crazy. And so, you know, being a part of a church staff that has to redo everything we thought we knew and rethink everything we thought about church and about how to do our jobs, all of that came in just a couple weeks of that Hawaii trip. It became a grind hard, do all this stuff online, try and press and get things done ahead of time instead of preaching on Sunday morning. It's let's preach two this week and then get ahead for the next week. And so, you know, it's all this sort of stuff that you're having to do to get prepared. And it was a crazy season for about 6 months. And
guys, just, the Zoom meetings.
Yeah. All the online meetings. Gosh, I don't ever want to hear the word Zoom again. just all of that. And that Hawaii trip was a solace that I didn't know that I was going to need when I got home. And so it was an incredible trip.
We just about went to Hawaii in November of last year because we got great airfare prices and they wouldn't let us come because if you flew in there, it was mandatory 14-day quarantine. And we had heard that they were starting to enforce it, writing tickets, things of that nature, and it just did not seem like it was in the cards for us. But that's awesome that you were there and you got your trip in last year. What island were you guys at?
We were at Maui only. So most people go and jump around and maybe, you know, start at the big island, you know, fly into Honolulu, things like that. But my uncle actually lives on Maui, which is sort of our connecting point.
And nice.
So we got to fly into Maui and, you know, he was the one picking us up from the airport and we stayed with him for a few nights. He doesn't have a huge place, so we couldn't crash all week, but he let us stay there for a couple nights and then we went and got an Airbnb. So that made it a lot easier.
Had you been there before or is this your first
time? Yeah, no, this is my second time going to Hawaii. Okay. And my uncle, once again, lives in Maui. And so,
I need to get his number before this is afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, totally do. He runs I guess it's his own business, but sort of not his own business because he's in coordination with some of the hotels there. And so he takes people kayaking, scuba diving.
Does he have a name? What's the business? Or
I know that he. Oof.
No big deal.
Couldn't even tell you. I was going to say, couldn't even tell you. I know the hotel that we were at was a big one and it was a nice one. And we didn't stay there, but we worked out of there.
Was that the White Lotus?
I don't know. Could have been. It was some fancy hotel in Maui. It was great. And so that was sort of our connection point, was my uncle living there in Maui. So we went to Maui and Maui alone, stayed there.
So was this you, when you say we, it was you, your mom, and your dad,
And my younger sister.
And your younger sister. Yep. Okay.
Yep. So my older sister and my brother-in-law were staying home. They had real jobs to work.
Oh, mercy.
Yep. Yep.
So tell me, what kind of kayaks or what else? So kind of set the stage. He invites you to go out in what, like a sea kayak, sit on top. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was one of those. Well, hey, you know, we've got this week off. It was my younger sister's spring break, and so we've been. I mean, this is not last minute decision. You know, this has been planned, and we know that it's whale season. So wouldn't it be cool if we got to go do something where, you know, we could see
whale
some,
season.
Some, yep, yeah, okay. Yeah. So it was humpback whale season in Maui. They migrate down from up north in Alaska-ish area, migrate down south during the summer, raise their cub? No, that's completely false.
Pup.
No, calf. There we
calf,
are.
It
was
yes.
It's the calf. I was like, I was just showing a picture of this to somebody and talking about it. It was, so they raise their calf in the warmer waters and build up fat and then go back up north. And so it was whaling season. We knew that, so we could go down there and see hopefully some whales. And so that was sort of the kayaking, was that my uncle was said, well, hey, look, why don't we take you guys out kayaking a couple times and just see what we can see. He knew a couple of good spots. I mean, there's whales everywhere. That's where they are, is in Hawaii. And so they're all over the place. So we just got to sit out there. It took us a while to get out and a while to get back in, but once we were out there, it was great.
How far out did you go when you're saying out
well,
that far?
You know, when it's hard to, I don't know if we had a number on it, and it's really hard to gauge because in Hawaii, instead of it being everything's at sea level, like it would be at a coast of one of the Carolinas, you know, you get there and you're at sea level and everything's pretty flat. You've got maybe some hotels or something, but there in Maui where we were, is there's a massive mountain that is mere miles from the coast. And so then you've also got these other small islands out dotting other areas, like one called Molokai. You've got the other Hawaii islands out there. And so you never really are far from seeing land. So no matter how far out you go, unless you just go hundreds of miles offshore, you know, you wouldn't know it. And so, to be quite honest with you, I can't put a number on it. But we weren't that far. We weren't entirely too far. These skinny arms would not have gotten me as far as some people could go in a kayak.
What kind of whales were out there that you saw?
Strictly humpback whales, as far as I know. I think that's the only whales that go to Hawaii at this time. And so they normally, you know, migrate around the fall season and stay through early spring. And so we kind of are catching them on the back end. They probably had a few more weeks, maybe a month there. So it was just humpback whales, mom, dad, calf. Now, mostly mom sticks around with the calf and dad goes off to do what dads do. And so we got to see a couple different moms and calves on one day, a couple different on the next day. Sometimes we were thinking, oh, this must be a male because he's by himself, you know, no calf with him. And got to see all sorts of crazy things. It was cool.
So what were they just jumping and doing the whole tail splash or?
Yeah, so we got to see everything from a full breach, which means they jumped out of the water, like what you see in those insurance commercials. Pacific Life, that's the insurance
yes.
company. The full-on breach where they're jumping and twisting, and you can see their white underbelly as they're turning and making this massive splash in the water. Everything from that to just a simple breach where, you know, they're mammals, and so they breathe oxygen.
I speak whale.
And do you?
Yeah.
Like Dory in Finding Nemo.
Yes. Yeah, it's more of a... It's more of a dialect, just a tongue, but yeah, you get into it. It's not hard. I think there's an app.
I'm sure you could have communicated with these guys then, because they were singing a lot too. It was cool to get to, you know, you see them breach near you and you can see them, you know, just puff up a little bit of water and then go back down to swim some more, and they'll do the whole tail slap thing, all that stuff. But what was neat about speaking whale is that you could stick your paddle into the water and you'd stick it all the way in to where the other end of the paddle that you normally use in the water is at your face, and you press your ear up against the oar and you can hear the vibrations of the whale.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so you can hear them singing. It's not like your head is underwater, but it's close. It's very close.
Yeah.
And so it was really neat to get to hear that, because then when you were closer in, so when we went scuba diving or were just swimming and snorkeling, you can still hear them every now and then just through the vibrations, because they're just massive creatures. But that being out there where you know they're right next to you, sometimes quite literally right next to you. I mean, nearly, you know, 10 feet
away.
Were
you ever scared? Like, you might get
capsized? No, my mom was. My mom was very, not scared, but cautious, because she knew that one flip of that tail would be the end of her life.
Were they sit on top kayaks or sit in?
They were sit in. Yeah, they were sit in.
So, I mean, yeah, if one got too close, you definitely could tip it over and have an issue of, you know, I need some help turning this thing back over.
I mean, you know, that these whales never cause an issue there. For all the tourists that come, they're completely docile creatures. Never one. They never are harming you. I mean, I'm sure if you went, you know, down there with a spearfish weapon and tried to harm their calf, you'd find out real quick what a whale could do to a little human. But nobody ever does that, so it's no issue. But they are very docile, and I mean, they literally would just pop up right next to you, give a blow, and go back down under the water after they've breathed a little bit. And so,
I haven't ever had a chance to see one. I've offshore fish quite a bit, and you know, spend a great amount of time in the outdoors, but I've never seen a whale, so that's on my to-do list, I guess. I have seen many manatee, and they're the same way, very docile, and you're not really supposed to touch them, but every now and then they get in the harbors down in Florida, and you grab their tail and just kind of ride along for a quick sec, you know, just a little support there. But so, can you? I mean, for the listeners, do you think you could, like, maybe mimic the whale, what it sounded like?
Mimic the whale sound.
Just give me something
to
go by.
It's such a deep vibration that I don't think it would communicate well over a podcast. It's like
I know people are wanting to hear, though.
So let me break it down. Like, what you hear Dory do in Finding Nemo and what Matt probably he can do
is
not accurate. It's much more of a do exactly what Dory tries to do, just don't open your mouth. And so instead of yelling, it's just more of a noise like that.
Okay,
that,
there it is.
And it has its fluctuations and, you know, goes high and low and whatever, but I'm not sure how they do it. I don't think it's something that humans are capable of. But.
Would you call yourself an outdoorsman?
No, not in the sense that someone like you.
But
Matt,
you paddled all the way out there. I mean,
yeah, I don't hate it. I'm not going to stay inside my house. I mean, I went out there 3 or 4 days in a row, 3 days in a row. So
if you had to, like, rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, is it for small children, old people, are you good for whoever to do it, or how difficult would you say it is?
Yeah, certainly not small children, and certainly not. I mean, depends on how old you are and how active you are and strong you
little
are.
Little fit.
My mom and dad are in their late 50s. My sister is low 20s, and they were able to do the kayaking out and back, but not just barely. I mean, we weren't going all that far, and they were just barely able to do it. Getting past the surf through the waves is really difficult. I was incredibly sore. It's working muscles you don't even know you have. And it's not the easiest thing, but it is without a doubt top 5 experiences of my life. And with a dad that is a pilot, I've had strange experiences that many people at my age would not. So it was that great of an experience. It was
That's
amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was great. One of the best things about it, the absolute best thing about it, was to know that there are creatures that are right under you that have the power to kill you, that are incredible. I mean, you know how big a whale is. You're supposed to know, at least. You think you understand and can comprehend the size of a humpback whale, which is not even the largest fish in the ocean. But you think you know until you see it 20 yards away jumping out of the water, or even just a simple breach where all you see is, you know, 6 feet of its back, and you realize this is a massive creature. And
you realize how small we are.
in comparison. Yeah. And you wonder, I wonder, you know, with them swimming right up under me, I'm going, man, how crazy it is that these giant creatures are right here and I have no idea that they're able to move, to swim, to eat, to live right there. And yet when they come up, it's so clear and obvious that they're right there, breaching the surface, whatever, because they're so big and you're just awestruck by it. But then when they're up under you, you have no idea. And so it is pretty incredible to realize that these giant creatures are right there and you just don't know it. And so seeing just how big they are, something I'll never forget. One of those moments something that I've been itching to go back and do, but you know, it's Hawaii. You don't just get up and go. So it'll take me a few years, I'm sure, but something I will do again.
What else did you say you went snorkeling while you're out there?
Yeah, we went snorkeling and scuba diving. Yeah. So the snorkeling, scuba diving, that's all shout out to my uncle, Phil. I'll send this podcast to you. You're the best. Thank you for it. It was a great experience.
Now, are you PADI certified, or was this more like a learning?
It was. Class, it was. So he did a. I mean, I'd scuba dived before. Last time we were in Hawaii, okay. I did. But this time we went through in a pool, did the little training deal, just a refresher. Because I mean, when you're under the water in the ocean, and you're surviving off of a tank, you kind of need to know how to work it and what to do if it comes out, and
yeah,
you know, not that way you don't freak out and go up to the surface too quick and bust your eardrums, you know, that sort of stuff. So
yeah, I got a chance to go on our honeymoon, and Tammy took the class with me at the resort there in like a 20-foot tank, and she enjoyed the opportunity and the chance to do it, but she's a little bit almost claustrophobic being that far under the water, and of course shot to the surface. And then when she did that, she's like, you know, I really don't feel good about going in the ocean tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I think I'm gonna sit this one out.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody that has never been scuba diving, it's definitely a strange sensation breathing from that apparatus.
Yeah,
solely to keep you alive.
It is. But I hate that for Tammy, but I would definitely, if you ever consider going scuba diving, do it.
Yeah.
I mean, try it. Go in the pool, do the training, all that good stuff. But that and the whales are probably top five. They're in there of experiences of my life and may never leave the top five.
That, how was the snorkeling there? Have they got a large reef that you can get to? Or
yeah, it's not the Great Barrier Reef.
Right.
It's not as spectacular as some places are. I'm sure you can find places like that in Hawaii on some of the islands, maybe even on Maui itself. But we were there to see the whales, to scuba dive the one time that we did, and then rest all the other times because the kayaking really did take it out of you. And so, you know, the snorkeling was not top of the list, but it was just, oh, hey, might as well, since we're here, you know, grab some paddles and a mask. And what was cool about it is that it's not, let somebody take you out there and then you jump off the boat and look around. It's you just get in the surf from the beach, swim 10 to 20 yards and you're seeing coral and you're seeing fish. And it's, you know, you don't have to leave like the waves breaking. You hardly have to go that far out. So it was it's an easy way to see a lot of cool stuff.
That's a pretty interesting story. It's really good chatting with you. It really got me wanting to go to Hawaii now. The seed's been planted. I'll probably be on kayak, not a real kayak, but the app here later this evening looking for plane tickets to Maui. Appreciate your time, bro. And that's a wrap. Thanks, Bren.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. It was a pleasure.
All right.